What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieved stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Jordan Armstrong over Zoom video. Jordan was born and raised on the South Shore of Massachusetts and talks about how she got into music. She comes from a very musical family. She started singing at an early age. She also played flute for, I think, a year, but then started to learn guitar, took guitar lessons, and once she learned how to play the chords, she just wanted to sing songs and write her own songs. She talked about attending Belmont University for one semester and then transferring to Berkeley, and she ended up graduating from Berkeley in the songwriting program, moved back down to Nashville to pursue songwriting, and just after she had moved here, she was diagnosed with epilepsy, so she was having seizures. They took her license away. She moved back home to Massachusetts. And once she got on the right medications and she was about 6 months without a seizure, she ended up moving back down to Nashville, and that's where she's currently at. But in between, she would go to New York and Boston and work on her songwriting, and it was easier for her to get around because they had, you know, much better public transportation. So she was always songwriting still. When she got back down to Nashville, that's when she's really dove into songwriting. She's playing a lot around Nashville. And she recently released her song called Convenience Store. So we talk about that as well. You can watch our interview with Jordan on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Jordan Armstrong. I'm Adam, and this is about you and your journey in music. And we'll talk about the new song.
Awesome.
Sweet. First off, where were you born and raised? Did I see Massachusetts area?
Yeah, South Shore of Massachusetts. So kind of close to Cape Cod, like just before Cape Cod.
Okay. What was that like? Did you go to Cape Cod quite a bit?
No, I mean, I'm from a beach town. So honestly, like Cape Cod seems like useless to us just because we have our own beach.
You had your own beach.
It just causes a lot of traffic. Sure. But I grew up in the town both my parents grew up in. Very small town, you know. Everybody knows everybody. It's kind of like growing up, I was friends with kids whose parents were friends with my parents, and it's just very small. So like I always say, like I feel like that's what qualifies me to like be in the dip my toe in the country genre.
Okay.
But I have a huge family. I don't have like a cousin or aunt or uncle that lives like more than 15 minutes away from where I grew up. So it's just like constantly having family around. And it's a very, I didn't think it was a unique way to grow up until, you know, I was like telling my friends like, oh, like I'm going to go hang with my cousin. I'm going to go do this. And some people like never see their cousins. Like they only see them once or twice a year. And I'm
yeah, that's how I was growing up.
Multiple times a day. Like that's I always wild. Say they're like more like parents and siblings than like cousins and aunts and uncles. We're so involved in each other's lives, but it's definitely very special. And I'm very appreciative to like have that family unit.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are from Ohio and my mom's family ended up moving to Dallas, but my dad's side of the family was still in Ohio, and we'd see him like once or twice a year, if that. Like we moved to San Diego. So I was born and raised in San Diego, and like very rarely, we had no family or anything around us. So it was like once or twice a year, you get to see your cousins and your aunts and uncles and grandparents. And yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm always like envious of the people that had that, like all the cousins and the parents and grandparents and everybody around them. Like, yeah, it just wasn't anything that I grew up with. So
yeah, my friends really would cool always be it. Like, what? Like they were so confused by it, especially because I always felt like if I had falling out with friends or anything, like I had my cousins, like I'm okay. Like I'm going
right.
to can't leave me even if they want to. Like we're stuck with each other.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, what about musicians? Do you have any other musicians in your family?
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't do it professionally, but my dad was like a trumpet player all growing up, like did it through college. And then it's funny, actually, like I quit chorus like when I was like a sophomore in high school, but both my siblings were like first chair flute and tuba players and like went to Carnegie Hall and like did all that. And I'm like, and I'm the one out here like doing music. And like my sister's a teacher, my brother works in finance, and I'm like, you two are both like first chair, like in the wind ensemble. And, but yeah, there's definitely like an appreciation for music. And it was definitely embedded in me like as a child, but nobody's done it professionally.
Okay. Yeah. But you said you quit the choir in 10th grade, but what about it? Were you in band? Did you play an instrument through school either?
You had to play an instrument starting in fifth grade in the town I grew up in. So I did flute for a second, but my sister was my teacher and that did not go well. So we tried, but that, you know, when you're like 6 years younger than your sister and she's trying to tell you to do something, it's just like, it was not. And I tried, like my parents were, they wanted everyone to know how to play piano, but I was such an impatient child that like sitting with a teacher and trying to learn piano, it didn't fly. I guess that's like when my siblings complain about the youngest child, like in that way, I did get away with some things. I was like, I can't do this. My attention span can't handle it. But
And they were like made to stay in it or whatever. And your parents were like, all right, you can just dip.
Sorry, my computer. Okay. I literally just connected my phone number to my computer the other day and I'm still not used to it. I really got away with some things that they didn't in that sense. But I started playing guitar in middle school and that was great for me. Mm-hmm. I loved my teacher and he kind of let me, once I knew, like the basics, he let me just sit there and sing, which is really what I wanted to do. So that
would you do like cover songs or once you learn how to play guitar, you could already obviously sing and it was just like, oh, I want to play these songs now.
Yeah, no, it was, I guess like we would sit there, I learned my basic chords. And then once I had those down, I was like, okay, let's just sit here and sing the entire time. Then he ended up getting me a voice teacher. And he was like, you should just go do this. Like, you obviously, like, once I knew the basics, he was like, you just want to sit here and sing. So, and I continued with guitar for a while, but I'm not like any crazy guitar player. I can just, I do enough to write my songs. And
I was going to say, you still play though. I mean, a lot of people I know that play guitar aren't like shredders. Like they don't.
Yeah.
It's just, I learned how to do this so I could have a vehicle to write my own.
But
song,
it is funny. Basically. My guitar teacher in middle school, he was like, girls who can solo, that's a dream. Like, this is what we should do. And I'm like, no, like, I want to know like how to play C, D, E, F, G and like move along. Like,
right.
I was like, I want to play this Kacey Musgraves song over and over and over and over again. And I want to go write my own music. And he was great. It is cool when girls can rip a solo. It's way cooler than when a guy does it.
Yeah, 100%. So did you start writing your own songs fairly quickly after you learned how to play guitar?
I've been like writing my own music since I was like a toddler, I'd say. Like, I mean, writing, quote unquote, but I was always like coming up with little melodies. And it's funny, my parents moved out of our childhood home a few years ago and we were cleaning out like our piano bench. And I just like, there were so many lyrics from me as a child. Like I just, it's always been an innate thing for me. And that's always been my passion, like just writing in general. So it wasn't like, I mean, the guitar helped because I started actually formulating actual music rather than just like me like writing words and like coming up with a melody and, you know, just letting it be. But yeah, I mean, it's always just been natural. And I think as like I got into like middle school and high school and you like find out like about the 70s and like Laurel Canyon and like that, it's an actual career that was like life changing for me because I was like, oh, you can actually just be a songwriter. Because I've always wanted to be an artist and a performer, but knowing that there's this like whole community of people who just like write the music and a lot of people didn't write their music, I think it's different now. I think a lot of people do write their music unless you're like in the pop space.
Right. If you're a big pop star,
But a lot of, especially here now that I'm in Nashville, like it's very different. Like there's still a few male country singers who like will take outside cuts, but it's really hard to get an outside cut these days. It's more like you're a writer in a room with an artist. The artist wants to be a part of the song. So it's definitely changing, but
it's not as much like here's a bunch of songs and I have a publishing deal and we're gonna try to sell this to you know, Chris Stapleton to cut or whoever
it's
may
so
be.
Different it's yeah. What I've always aspired to do, it's just like I think everybody in the industry is like constantly just being like, what's this world now, what are we doing, how do you get a publishing deal, like what does it look like, because they're not putting you in the room with these artists. but you can't also get outside cuts. So it's just such a different world, and like trying to navigate it is confusing, but working on it.
Yeah. It's like, if you get the publishing deal, you might not be put in the same room as the artist. You will be put in a room with a bunch of other people. And you're all trying to work towards getting this song end up cut by someone else, and that may not happen.
Yeah, it's especially in the country world, a lot of females don't take outside cuts, so it's really hard to get people to take your music in that realm. So it's just, you want to be in the room with these people, so that's why it's important, like, to just, like, at least for me, I'm writing with anybody who wants to write, because you don't know who anybody's going to be, so forming these relationships now is important.
100%. You said you stopped doing choir in 10th grade. What was the reason behind that?
I couldn't do the chorus music.
Got sick of it.
It was hard for me. I don't know. I just didn't have like a passion for it. And at that point, I ended up finding a vocal teacher who like worked in pop music. Like she allowed you to train with pop music, which is unusual. It's like difficult to find somebody who will do that. A lot of it is like people want to classically train you, which is important, and like something I learned when I attended Berklee is like having those basic tools is very important. But I think it's also important like to keep somebody engaged, and like there is so much to learn from pop music, even if some people look down on it like when they're training somebody vocally. But yeah, chorus was just tough because I was just always bored, I guess. But
yeah, you just got sick of the songs. Like, I want to sing these, you know, country songs or the pop songs that are on the radio or whatever. Yeah, I could see how that would get quite boring, especially if that wasn't where your heart was. And you go to Berklee. Was that something that you knew early on? Like, okay, I live in Massachusetts. That's one of the best music schools in the country or the world. Like, I want to go to Berklee. Was that like always a goal for you?
No, I did not know what Berklee was until I was like in high school. And that was because my voice teacher went to Berklee and she told me what Berklee was. And I didn't apply to Berklee when I was graduating high school. I didn't apply to a school in state. Like, I was like, I'm getting out of here. So I went to Belmont for a semester.
Oh, in Nashville. Okay.
Yeah. I went for a semester, ended up not being the perfect fit for me. And that's when I transferred, but it was interesting. I came down to Nashville to look at Vanderbilt. Cause at that point I was like, I don't know, like you start going through that, like, is music viable? Like, what should I go to?
Right. Is this going to be lucrative enough to where I can survive? Yeah. 100%.
And then you just, as you age, you start like, I start becoming like more logical, which can be hard in this. Cause in this career, you kind of don't want to be logical. You just want to like have your passion and go for it. Cause that's the way it can work out. But I came down with my parents, and my dad actually found Belmont, and he found the songwriting program, and he was like, we're going to tour this. Which is funny because I feel like sometimes parents are like the ones who are like, you should go to nursing school and do something.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't like, Vanderbilt, yeah, this is going to be amazing.
No, we like toured it. He was like, we're going to add Belmont on today. And he's like, and there's this songwriting school and all this stuff. And I was like, okay. And I toured Belmont, and it's like the most beautiful school ever. It's just clean and new. And I was like, my mom was like, this isn't what college looks like, especially because we're from New England. She's like, I went to St. Michael's and Vermont, and it's like the school's like 100 years old. Like,
yeah, it's don't look super like old, right? Yeah, like Belmont's like, beautiful campus. And it's all
it was amazing. And I ended up getting into their songwriting program, so I went as a freshman. And for whatever reason, it just wasn't the perfect fit for me, so I transferred, and I couldn't go to Berklee until the summer. But at that point, I'd kind of been going back and forth with. I didn't want to go to a 100% music school. That really freaked me out, just because growing up, like, I played soccer, I played basketball, I had all these different interests, and like being in a place where like music was like all you're focusing on seemed really scary to me. But I think it was actually like the perfect fit, and it challenged me in a way I hadn't been challenged in school in a long time. And like I said, with like being bored with chorus, like probably because I was being challenged, and like maybe I was like, I don't know, this is scary and I'm going to get out of here. But Berklee, like, you have to take those classes to graduate. You have to do harmony. You have to do conducting and classes that you're like, this sucks, but it really makes you a better musician. And I'm grateful for that time. But it was definitely scary and not something I thought I was going to do, but it worked out.
This episode is brought to you by Dragon Ball Legends, the ultimate Dragon Ball experience on your mobile device. Dragon Ball Legends features action-packed anime action RPG gameplay with Goku, Vegeta, Trunks, and all your favorite Dragon Ball characters. Summon your favorite characters from popular Dragon Ball anime series, such as Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball GT to Dragon Ball Super. Fight in real time against friendly or rival Dragon Ball players from across the globe in live PvP battles. Enter ratings matches with your favorite Dragon Ball characters and earn rating points and rewards. Unite with friends to defeat powerful foes in co-op. Dragon Ball Legends features the best anime fighting scenes on your mobile device. And now, Legends Festival is on, so you can get up to 300 free summon tickets. Are you ready? Download Dragon Ball Legends today. Available for free on both iOS and Android devices.
Why, hello, friends. It is Adam from Bringing It Backwards, and I am here to talk to you about Factor, which I absolutely love, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. This holiday season, you may be looking for some nutritious, flavorful meals on your jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and you'll stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all of those holiday to-dos. The thing I love about Factor is you skip the meal planning, you skip the grocery store shopping, the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up. You get Factor's fresh, never frozen meals delivered right to your door. They're ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is just heat it up and enjoy. Treat yourself to high quality, delicious meals over the holidays. Choose from over 35 chef-crafted meals every week that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. Whether it's calorie smart or you're vegan or veggie, you want more protein, protein plus, and more wholesome options, Factor has delicious, dietitian approved, calorie smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. I recently had the shredded chicken taco bowl, which was absolutely delicious. It had roasted corn salsa, cilantro lime, sour cream, delicious, only 540 calories. Or if you need an extra boost to support those wellness goals so you feel your best during the holidays, there are protein plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. And guess what? That shredded chicken taco bowl I had, not only calorie smart, but it was a protein plus meal as well. And all I had to do, super easy, pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes, delicious meal, 540 calories, and over 30 grams of protein. But Factor isn't just for dinner. You can count on extra convenience any time of the day with an assortment of over 55 add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Choose from quick breakfast items, lunch to go, grab and go snacks, and ready to drink cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. Factor offers offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. This December, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your doorstep. They're ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. And for you Bringing It Backwards listeners, head to factormeals.com/BIBTV50. That's BIBTV50. Use the code BIBTV50 to get 50% off. Factormeals.com/BIB50. Use the code BIB50 to get 50% off. That's code BIBTV50 at factormeals.com/BIB50 to get 50% off. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. So when you start going to Berkeley, or even at Belmont, did you go for a whole year
there?
Did you
stop at
the first semester? Okay. And yeah. Were you like meeting people in Nashville that were songwriters or people that were doing it professionally at that point? Or were, I mean, being a freshman and new to the town, I'm sure it's probably hard to meet a whole lot of people.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I struggled that first semester. It was just like, I felt so not myself. So I'm sure like the people who met me at that time in my life were like, who is this girl? What is going on with her? But it just was like a culture shock to me almost. Like I come from like a very like dry humor, sarcastic, like New England Northeast family. And it was just very different in Nashville and at Belmont for me. But I wasn't meeting a ton of industry people. It was interesting. I like had a friend who was in like the musical theater program, and that was really big at Belmont. So I met a lot of kids who were doing that. And then the songwriting, it was just, you didn't do a lot like your freshman year in the songwriting program. At least like I didn't have any classes. I had like one music business class, but you didn't really in that first semester get to know the community super well.
Okay.
But Berkeley, like upon immediate arrival, like everybody wants to collaborate and like get to know each other. And that was definitely interesting and good.
Yeah. So are you, when you get to Berkeley, then do you start, I mean, it sounds like you were always writing your own songs. Was that a place that you were able to, you know, develop a bit more in your songwriting? I mean, going there for songwriting, obviously, were you like recording any of your original songs, like putting anything out? Like, were you just studying at that point?
So I started in the summer because that's when I could like first get in. So that was interesting because there was like kids who were like just coming to Berkeley for the summer or like were going to start in the fall. But that was the first time like I had ever really like dipped my toe into like collaboration or like even really know what production is, because I hadn't released anything previously. So like that was my first experience, like going to somebody's house and like recording vocals and tracking and putting something together. And at that point, like the way I wrote music was so, it wasn't really a process for me. It was just like, I put a song together and that was that. Like there was no intention with it really. So I think that first semester, that second semester was when I really learned the tools of how to put together like a coherent song, you know, like first chorus, verse, pre-chorus, bridge, whatever, like just make it very specific. But I didn't end up releasing music until my second semester, 2019. And yeah, and then I didn't release music a while after, but it was, I think it's just in that community, like I was just like, I was figuring out who I am, and I still am figuring out who I am as a musician. Like, I don't know, it's a process, and you get overwhelmed, I think, because you take like 8 to 12 classes a semester. So it's like a lot going on at once. And then it was like COVID for me. And that was,
I was
like,
going to say that probably didn't help as far as the releasing process and even going to school. It was all virtual. Like how are you to write and do a music class like this must've been.
Yeah, it was definitely, difficult. It was a lot. I mean, I used to like, I was in a co-writing class and I would be on like Zoom for like 5 hours some nights, like, cause you just talk for so long too.
Yeah.
And that's the process of co-writing. And I would just be in my parents' basement and then like talking to these people and then writing a song. But you know, cause that's been interesting with me in Asheville, is like, this has been like my first, like a long amount of time of writing in person. It's just not something I did a ton because in school, like I was at Berkeley for like 2 semesters if we're counting the summer semester, and then it was COVID and I never went back and I graduated. So it was just like everything was virtual.
You completed school virtually from Berkeley. Wow. Yeah.
I graduated in my living room and that was that.
Oh man.
But
kind
I was
a bummer.
It is. And like there's definitely, I miss some like vital parts of Berkeley because half the reason you go there is to meet the kids and meet the people like you, like going after this. That's the biggest thing you can take away. And there's so many kids that I graduated with that are doing such cool and amazing things. But when I was home, I was like, I got to get out of here. First of all, like I'm going to be paying back for school. So if I can do this and I did it in 3 years. So I was like, if I can do this in less time, that'll benefit me.
Yeah.
But I took like 24 credits one semester and I was like, I'm done.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I did miss like some of that in-person and like, especially I've met people in Nashville now, like my closest friends here, people from Berkeley that I didn't know while I was at school, and just hearing their experiences, because like they had like maybe just their senior year that was COVID or just one semester. And I'm like, they had wildly different experiences than I did.
Yeah. When do you move to Nashville? Is that after you graduated?
So I graduated spring of 21. And then I was home for through like January. And then I moved to Nashville. So last spring I moved to Nashville. And then a week after I had moved here, I had a grand mal seizure and I was diagnosed with epilepsy.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah, I did see that on your Instagram, I think it was.
Yeah, so I had that seizure. And then, so what happens is, like, you lose your license. I was starting medication, like, all these things. So I had signed a lease for 3 months, because when I came down here, I was like, I just want to get the area, figure it out, and then decide if I want to live in this apartment or not. Uh-huh. So my family took, like, turns and got me through when I could break my lease. And then I moved back to Massachusetts for a while, just because I have a community. Yeah. There's a subway in Boston. There's the T, so that made my life a lot easier, because here I have to rely on Uber when I don't have your license, and that's just like,
yeah. There's like the public transportation here is pretty equivalent to when I lived in San Diego. I moved to Nashville in February 21. Yeah, and it was like, yeah, it's the same. I mean, I spent some time in San Francisco, and that was a totally different experience. I mean, you could just get on train and go wherever, and then here it's like, you have, if you don't have a car, it's like San Diego, you're stuck, or you're taking,
you are stuck, and everything. Yeah, I mean, it's Uber, great, everything's 10 minutes away, so when you have a car, it's like, this is the best city. Like, I love that it's like townish.
Yeah,
like,
you just jet around. Yeah. Exactly.
But Boston and New York, like, for me, like, when I didn't have my license, like, those are cities that I can still, like, exist and have a full life in, mm-hmm. like, without having my license. So I moved back just also because my entire support system was there, and, like,
being diagnosed with epilepsy. Extended family. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. Just, like, yeah. It's a lot to deal with and, like, get used to. So I went back, and then I moved back here officially in January. And
okay. So once you, what, like, got the epilepsy kind of at bay, or kind of, you know,
yeah,
so medicine, I got my was license. Working and you were able to get your license, yeah, all that ended up working out, obviously, which is awesome. And then you moved back down here.
Yeah, so that was always the goal. It was just like making sure that the medication was working and that I had a good plan in place. But yeah, once it was October was my 6 month seizure free, and now I'm over a year seizure free, which is great.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
But I'm happy.
Yeah, I bet. Wow. And then, so when you moved back down here, were you able to do songwriting or write at all, like, during that period of, you know, at least that 6 months when you were kind of taking new meds and trying to figure out this thing that you were diagnosed with? I would imagine you'd have to spend quite a bit of time just focusing on that.
Yeah. I mean, I really, dove deeper into like the Boston and New York community. So that I was grateful for, because I mean, like, as much as I'm doing pop country, like I do pop like writing, and I've done like most of my artist career previously to my most recent release has been like primarily pop. Mm-hmm. So like New York and Boston are definitely communities that like I can write in and thrive in. So I did a lot of like writing shows and writing, especially in New York. It's such an easy commute from Boston. Like, even.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask. Yeah. So did you would just commute in? It wasn't like you lived in New York. Got it.
No, I would just like every like 2 to 3 weeks, I would go to New York and do a show and see some people and write. And that was good because it just kept me in like the writing mode and music mm-hmm. mode, because, you know, it's easy to fall out and like take time away. But yeah. And like my manager, she lives in Massachusetts, but she's like based in New York in her company. So I have like a strong community in the Northeast. So I definitely stayed in it. I mean, I think it was more like I was in more of an artist realm than just songwriting, because I wasn't around like a super huge community of writers. So I wasn't doing it like every week, but yeah.
Okay. And then once you get back to Nashville, like the new song that you released, the pop country song, was that something that you wrote when you got back down to Nashville, or was that a song you had before?
So I actually wrote that. I did a trip to Nashville in last August, before I'd moved back, and I wrote with my friend Brianna, and that was when I wrote Convenience Store, and it just takes absolutely forever to get music out sometimes. So that was actually in August, and that was good because, you know, at that point I wasn't like 6 months seizure free yet, and I wasn't yet sure what the next year looked like, but it was definitely good to come down here and play a show and write with some people and know that it was where I wanted to come back to. And that was also like at a point where I was like, I'm not sure, like, is pop country what I want to do? There's just so many different facets to writing for me and me as an artist that sometimes it's hard to pick a lane. But it's also important to pick a lane so you can build a fan base and listeners. And so that was a trip for me that, you know, solidified that I want to be here and this is the genre and community I want to be a part of.
Okay. And then since you've been back, are you doing a lot of writing sessions? And do you have a lot of songs you're getting ready to release?
Yeah, for sure. Doing a ton of writing, probably like 2 to 3 writes a week for me. So I have like 2 to 3 songs that'll be coming out across like the fall into the winter. There's lots of new music coming, and it's going to start sounding a lot like Convenience Store, because I think what I have released now can definitely be confusing to people's ears, because there's a lot of stuff I did in school, and you know, it's hard as like a 23-year-old to like know exactly who I am, but
yeah, well, 100%. Especially with COVID, and then you had this, you know, the epilepsy thing happen. You've had a lot happen, especially in such a short time span.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Life likes to throw things at you, but it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, new music coming out soon. I know you did a show a few months back in Nashville. Are you playing more here in Nashville?
Yeah, I have a show at The Basement on August 15th.
So wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I love that venue. I live very close by, so nice and easy for me. I'm excited, and I'm going to continue to keep doing shows and being in the community, and lots of music coming soon. So that's exciting.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jordan, for doing this. I appreciate your time.
Having me.
Yeah, I have one more question before we let you go. It's like thundering and lightning here so bad. I'm in like south by like Franklin area, and it's been like brutal. So I'm like just waiting for the whole power to go out. I was wondering if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Definitely. Let me think. There's too much. I would say just make sure that you find other places in your life that bring you joy. You know, you got to have your outlets. It's so important, because the journey is really hard, but the journey is the best part, and you got to be in it. I think for me, like my family, they keep me really grounded, and they're like, even if I didn't have music, if things went so sideways, I'd have these parts of my life that bring me happiness. And I think that's something we can get lost in. And also when you do find that ultimate success, it's not going to be everything. You need to have those other parts of your life. So just don't forget.